I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to explore this year's Decorator's Show House, which happens to be the boyhood home of renowned late author and Indianapolis native Kurt Vonnegut. We also will dive into the saga concerning the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library's search for a location. My guests are Kathleen House from St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, Julia Whitehead from the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library, and Vaughn Hickman, who once lived in the show house. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. 2017 has been declared the year of Vonnegut for Indianapolis, and as part of that, the annual Decorator Show House tour features Kurt Vonnegut's childhood home. Plus, we're going to be talking about the status of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. If you want to join the conversation, if you want to talk either about show houses or the great Kurt Vonnegut, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Kathleen House of the St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, which sponsors the Decorator's Show House, Vaughn Hickman, who formerly lived in the show house and has some stories to tell about that experience, and Julia Whitehead, returning to the program, of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. Welcome to all of you.
It is
good to have you all here. So, Kathleen, I'm going to start with you. Talk with me about, first, the tradition of the Decorator's Show House, and then we're going to go into how the Kurt Vonnegut Boyhood Home was selected for this year.
Well, the tradition goes in regards to Show House, which is what you asked,
yeah,
to 1962.
Okay.
When we did our first show house of one of the Grand Dame old homes here, classic homes as we like to refer to them. And that was the first year that we took a home, and we refurbish the home with, I should say, not only the help, but everything that the designers do. The interior designers of the city are just terrific,
mm-hmm,
and the many vendors that have helped us with this effort underwriting it. But they take it and we transform it. And then we're allowed several months later to open up to the public for a two-week tour. And the proceeds we received from the gate admission of all you wonderful people through the years coming out for our event all goes back at this point in time to the hospital. And that hospital is Eskenazi Health, mm-hmm, which before Eskenazi Health, of course, it was Wishard Memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we had Marion County General, and we had Indianapolis, and then we had the original hospital that we supported way back in the first part of the 1900s, but in 1895 it was City Hospital of Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And these are dwellings, these are places that help many of our needy neighbors who need help. And so we decided that we would take this effort on, and we've been doing it since 1962. This is 56th house that we're doing. And it is wonderful for us, the Vonnegut childhood home of Kurt, I should say, of his mm-hmm childhood home. The Vonnegut family is a very, very well-known family here in the city. I mean, I don't have to say that. Someone sitting mm-hmm right next to me can tell you more. But all the different industries and companies they had and things that they did and their relatives, we're just thrilled. We're thrilled that this year we could have this house that is so important to the city. It's historical. And it goes along with so many things that the city is trying to do and its residents need to know about. So I could go on and on and talk a lot more. But I think
so if people, and we probably ought to tell people, the house is in the 4400 block.
4401 North Illinois. It mm-hmm certainly is. It's a $20 admission. Pre-sale tickets from members and from other outlets. Charles Mayer, Sullivan's Hardware, they are selling them. And you get a tour of the grounds, beautiful, lush garden areas, all the beautiful rooms inside the house, new things that have been added, as well as we have Maggie's Cafe, which, you know, always have to have some of our chicken salad and different foods that we prepare. But all that, all the proceeds get toyed up and we total it up and we give it back to the hospital.
Okay.
So, yeah, and it's running basically from the 29th of April to the 14th of May, which is Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a, for us, tradition. Mother's Day is always our last day. It's our biggest day, our most popular days. It's wonderful to see the husbands and sons come out with their moms and grandmothers, wives, daughters, and they tour the grounds and all that. And for many people that come, we have people that have been to 40 and 50 show houses. Mm-hmm. That's not hard to do. This is my 26th show house as a member. But I went to five of them before I joined, so I've got over 30 on my belt, you know, of houses I've been to. But it's a great, great concept, and we're just thrilled this year that we could have Kurt's childhood home. It means
now,
a lot.
Now, Vaughn, when did you live in that house?
We bought the house in 1987, and we lived there for, through 2008.
And, okay, so you were there for more than 20 years.
Yes, just over 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Is there any part of you right now that's thinking, why couldn't they come in and redesign the place while I owned it?
Well, we worked with Karen Bailey, which has participated in the Decorator's Show House in the past as a decorator. And she worked with us initially. We wanted to, with the decorating, is to tie in to the arts and crafts design of the house. And so we went with a very eclectic decorating part, and which included very contemporary as well as antiques and modern furniture. So that was our approach with it, and it's a wonderful, what they've done with the house is very wonderful. And I think anyone listening should plan on seeing the Decorator's Show House this year.
How much of a presence of the Vonnegut family did you feel while you lived there? And I guess I should preface that question by saying, were you aware that it had once upon a time been Kurt Vonnegut's boyhood home when you bought it?
We were, and we just really fell in love with the house when we saw it, and being a creative person, an artist. My background is fine arts, and then I got into graphic design. I've done a lot of interior decorating over the years, and we loved the fact that it was Kurt Vonnegut's childhood home.
Mm-hmm. And what the other part of that is. What sort of remnants of presence of Kurt and his family were there when you lived there?
Well, we had, Kurt visited us quite a few times. And in fact, I believe it was maybe around, 1990, somewhere in there, he came with a producer out of L.A., and he escapes my, his name escapes me right now, but they came and spent about a half a day, and he reminisced what it was like growing up in the neighborhood and in the house. And so that, you know, that was just a wonderful experience. And I got to ask him a lot of questions about the house and the and also, you know, just the yard and so on. So, and then it was funny, you know, numerous times he would visit the city, and we didn't know he was in town, but we would see him out standing on the sidewalk or in the driveway, just looking at the house. And so I think that it just brought a lot of memories back to him.
Yeah, and I can testify to that as well.
Yeah, and then one time, you know, this is a current thing is we told him that whenever he was in town to let us know when we were. You know, when he was going to be in town. And so once we got home, and here's a note on the front door that he left, and he says, "I was here. Where were you?" Kurt.
Prolific writer.
Yeah. Well, he was, yeah. I remember, and I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, Kurt and I were friends in the last years of his life. And I remember once he came back. I was the executive director of what was the Indiana Civil Liberties Union at the time. He came back to make a speech for the ICLU and spent a couple of days here. And I was driving him around, and every time we got north of 38th Street, he wanted to drive by that house. So it clearly, it had a powerful resonance. Julia, as the leader of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library and someone who knows an awful lot about Kurt Vonnegut, what do you think he would make of the fact that his boyhood home is now a decorator's show house?
I think he would really like this.
But he would make fun of it, too.
Oh, he probably would.
Yeah,
but
he would be pleased, but he'd make fun of it, too.
Yeah. I think, you know, as we've been talking about, he'd love to go back to that home. And to give the public an opportunity to see that is so very generous of the homeowners and, you know, for St. Margaret's Guild to choose that home. We get visitors all the time who want to see that home, and it's just not possible. And so what a wonderful opportunity for, you know, this city and this region to be able to go in and check it out. And I was over there earlier in the rain, and don't let the rain stop you. We've had so much rain lately because you walk in and it just feels like you're somewhere else, somewhere wonderful and magical, and it's beautiful.
So you've been inside the home?
Or? I have been inside the home several times over the years, and I was able to go in during the beginning of the remodeling phase, and then yes, to see the finished product is so wonderful. I just every time I go in that home, I feel attached to it. I feel such a connection, you know, with the things I know about Kurt and the many good times he had there. And then also there were some mm-hmm. really tough times there. But that's, you know, that's families. And Vaughn, you were thinking of a Hollywood producer. That was Bob Whitey, who had created that Vonnegut documentary. And it
that's
is supposed
right.
to be finished later this year. And we're hoping to host the release of that wonderful documentary that Bob created with Kurt.
Oh, that's a long gestation period.
Yeah.
Though,
yes.
We're talking about 27 years before it. So when do you anticipate release?
Right now I'm hearing September timeframe, but you know, I'm not completely sure, as it's been going on for quite a while, and I'm not completely sure yet.
So would they time it? I mean, I know Kurt's birthday is in November, November 11th, and you often do events
Absolutely.
Around his birthday. Yeah. Would that be something that perhaps we would see?
I hope I can come back and tell you that, John, that will be part of it, because I have seen many clips from that film, and it's so wonderful. It's just wonderful.
Well, that we will look forward to. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Year of Vonnegut. The annual Decorator Showhouse tour this year features Kurt's childhood home. We're also going to be talking about the status of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library as we go ahead. My guests are Kathleen House, the St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, which sponsors the Decorator's Showhouse tour, Vaughn Hickman, who lived in Kurt Vonnegut's boyhood home and is sharing his memories of it, and Julia Whitehead of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about the Year of Vonnegut in Indianapolis. We have a couple of news hooks, actually, for this discussion. The annual Decorators Showhouse Tour, which is going on right now, features Kurt Vonnegut's childhood home. And we're also going to be talking about the status of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library, which has become a landmark here in Indianapolis in recent years. My guests are Kathleen House of the St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, which sponsors the Decorator Showhouse Tour, Vaughn Hickman, who formerly lived in the showhouse that was Kurt Vonnegut's childhood home, and Julia Whitehead of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. So I think we have, Julia, built anticipation as long as we can here. We probably need to talk now about how things are going with the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library and the struggle to find a home or maintain one, as the case might be.
So I was about to put limits on this conversation, but since it's no limits,
this
I suppose
true.
I have to talk about this. And I have been hesitant to do that because we do have a lawsuit in progress right now. But I do think it's important for the public to understand where things are, because I'm not sure that people even realize that we did not open a new building. So just a quick timeline on what happened. So we one day, November 2015, Mark Vonnegut showed up out of the blue. Mark Vonnegut, Kurt's son, who is a pediatrician in Massachusetts.
And himself an author.
And himself a funny and poignant author. He showed up. He typically comes for events and to speak, but he just randomly showed up one Monday, and he said, "Julia, what are you doing today?" And I said, "Well, we're touring four buildings, looking for our permanent home." And he said, "I want to go along." And he, you know, we went to these buildings, and the one we loved, he loved it. He said Kurt would love it, was 646 Mass Ave. And the board just fell in love with the building. And the, you know, the Mass Ave neighborhood is a place that Kurt loved. He loved it. And he loved the Athenaeum, which was designed by his grandfather. So we started, you know, working on a letter of intent, and we started fundraising, and we managed to pull it all off to be able to sign a lease to move into that building. And then we began construction. There were a number of things we needed to do to make the space, you know, a good available space for a museum. And during that construction process, we were told by three companies that the building was structurally unsound and not safe. And so, obviously, I want to protect our staff, our visitors, our, you know, everyone, and our collection. And we just immediately removed everything from that building. Our conversations with the owners broke down at a certain point, and we did file a lawsuit. And I need to mention Parr Ritchie Law Firm, the great Mike Schultz of Parr Ritchie, who is donating his legal services to us. So if you were thinking about donating to the Vonnegut Library and were worried that your money is going to legal fees, well, you don't have to worry about that, because like other things with our organization, people are donating, organizations are donating because they value the work we do. So, you know, that's happening. In the meantime, we're working with Todd Maurer of Halicar, who is providing real estate brokerage services to us. He is incredibly generous with his time and skills. And so we are actively looking for a new location. And, you know, and the side story is we're also dealing with this other situation. We had put out just under $400,000 to make that space open. We had planned a big grand opening for April 8th and, you know, planned exhibitions and you know, all of these things. So you can imagine how heartbreaking and disappointed mm-hmm. I must be so with all of this.
Is the suit to recover the outlay of funds that you, the $400,000 that you just mentioned?
That is part of it, and to terminate the lease. Yes.
Oh, so the owners are attempting to hold you to the lease.
And I think at this point I will put my limit on.
Okay. That,
but I can say, the if you're interested in the details, the lawsuit is a publicly accessible document, and we call it recommended reading.
Okay. Okay. So in terms of this, where are you looking now then for a new permanent space? I presume, do you want to try to keep it downtown, or are you willing to go anywhere in the city?
Yeah, so we're expanding, looking elsewhere in the city, but I think the board was so set on Mass Ave. So we've had a number of individuals come to us. It's really been that's been a more heartwarming part of the mm-hmm. story is that, you know, when we first started this organization, getting the community support was somewhat challenging at times. Now there's so much community support, and the individuals who generously donated to be able to open that building are, you know, they're right there with us and want to see this through. So we're looking at the different options that are being presented to us, but in the backs of our minds is the idea that we went through an extensive search for a building and had criteria that, you know, we had researched. And so we wanted Mass Ave. Mass Ave would be the ideal first location for this. We had already built relationships with the businesses and arts organizations on Mass Ave over these many months that we've been working to, you know, to make that one building possible for us. So, you know, we're hoping we can continue to find something in that area, but we're also open to other possibilities right now.
So let's talk about the year of Vonnegut and what it means, what's on the table for that or on the schedule. Julia, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so I need to mention again, we are currently open at mm-hmm. our building at 340 North Senate Avenue, generously donated by Katz & Corin Law Firm. That building is for sale, so that's one reason we continue to look for a new venue. But so we've had wonderful events so far. We have in May a banned book discussion group with the Indiana Writers Center's Barb Shoup. In June, we have Stealth Ulvong and Nick Jaina, who are touring with the Lumineers, doing a benefit concert for us. And we have a wonderful program on Vonnegut, Common Decency, and Science. And that one's going to be quite interesting on June 14th at the History Center in the Basile Auditorium. More details to follow on that, but that's one you don't want to miss. We have our teacher workshop in July. Indie Film Fest is working with us on a project. Just so many things I could go through each month, but you probably should make sure to capture September's Banned Book Week, the last week of September, which has a wonderful lineup of speakers. And then make sure to note November's Vonnegut Fest and the Veterans Discussion Group. And I feel to mention we're giving the Kurt Vonnegut Humor Award to Mike Birbiglia in September. And we finish out the year at the Arts Council in their gallery with a tiny exhibit. So wrapping up the year with a lot of fun events and things, you know, going on in the library all the time.
So, Kathleen, mm-hmm. How big in making the decision to include Kurt Vonnegut's boyhood home mm-hmm. As part of the Decorator Showhouse tour this year, were you aware going into it that this was going to be the year of Vonnegut? Was that a factor? Did you say, okay, we want to be part of this celebration, or was it just that it was an interesting house?
No, we were aware of it. We had actually looked at the home some time ago, and we thought it would be a great house for a decorated show house at any year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were looking more seriously at getting it on a house on schedule, it was to our joy that we found out that it was basically going to be the year of Vonnegut. And so that made it just a perfect union. It was like an omen. We have a number of, this year in particular, of some of our directors that are Shortridge graduates. Mm-hmm. As you well know, you've probably talked to some of them. And they are absolutely thrilled. And so the movement was, let's really, really go for it. You know, we had the opportunity to do the Booth Tarkington home, which was another wonderful writer from Indiana. So we like to do historic things. I mean, besides just a classic home, we mm-hmm. like it when it has a little bit more history and we can really pep it up and show people things. I mean, this house this year, the footprint has not really changed much mm-hmm. at all from when Kurt and the family were there. It was built in 1923, and we still have the original doors and hardware. Of course, the Vonnegut's a relative of them had the Vonnegut
the hardware store, yeah.
which my husband dealt with them
yeah.
When he was with Pittsburgh Glass. So, I mean, there's a lot of people ask about it. So, you know, we were just thrilled. And it's, as I said, changed very little. So when you come through it, you can really, you can touch and see, you know, the mahogany wood that was used, the old jade tile floor in the kitchen. It was slightly damaged in a couple spots, and we had a wonderful artist come in, and we found some other tile pieces and painted up to look like everything else to keep the integrity. That's very important to us if we can do that. We don't go in and try to knock out walls and mm-hmm. things of that sort. We're showing a classic home to our people. So we were thrilled. I just can't tell you. You know, we had Dan Wakefield last night spoke. We had a special event.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Julia.
Yeah, thank you. So, Carrie Cato of St. Margaret's
yes.
Guild had reached out to us knowing it was the year of Vonnegut. And, you know, she is such a kindred spirit. It was so wonderful for her to want to be included in this, for the organization to be included. And, you know, other organizations reached mm-hmm. out to us in that. We are donating a portion of the proceeds of our merchandise sales to St. Margaret's Guild to
thank
be a
you.
Good community partner for this, and of course we appreciate all the work that Eskenazi Health does in the community, and you know, for many organizations. So it's wonderful to be part of this, and we do hope that people will check out the house and see the mm-hmm. things that Kathleen is talking about, the floor, and you know, right. I mean, you know, a floor. What's so exciting about a floor? No, it's so exciting.
It is. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is the original floor and
jade. Yes. Yeah, tile is those that understand yeah. historically speaking. Yeah, very very important.
Yes.
And the front door, which I'm sure you've noticed, that has 1923 on it and
yes,
his the, parents' names.
And
yes.
the handprints are. Are there Kurt's handprints when they finished building the home? All the family members' handprints. That is so mm-hmm. special. You know, for me, that is so great to have the opportunity to see that.
So Vaughn, what was it like living with those handprints? I mean, you know, I would think that would be somewhat a mixed blessing in that it's both house and you know historic artifact that you've
yeah.
got to maintain.
Yeah, you know. Kurt, once when he let us know that he was going to be in town and like to come by, I thought, well, you know, those handprints, of course, it's all in, you know, cement where they pressed their hands into the concrete slab and, you know, kind of banister. And I thought, you know, how wonderful that is. And so when Kurt was coming, announced that he was coming to town and was going to visit, I did a rubbing of the handprints. And I did two. And gave, when Kurt arrived, I gave him one of those. The other one, of course, I kept. He signed, and I have that now framed. So that was, and he talked about the memories. And, of course, the smallest handprint is his. And you can see that he had a sweater on that had some ribbing, you know, down at the by his hand, and that's imprinted in the concrete. So that was wonderful. He also talked about you know, the maid and cook and how, you know, housekeeper that lived with him. And she was African American, and he said that he, you know, his memory was of sitting on her lap and having her read to him, and that's how he really learned how to read, and also is, you know, has just loved, you know, books and reading, and that really influenced him. And, you know, as he went on into started school and so on. So,
did go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, I was just going to say some of those wonderful Shortridge women we have educated us a great deal on him and talked about what a good editor he was of the school paper. And started out, and we have lots of people that remember that and talk about when they come through. We've only been open a few days, but we've already got a lot of comments about that, especially from some of our supporters and vendors who we've had other events with. And yeah, so it's really interesting to hear the stories.
Now, Julia, Kurt was born in 1922, so this house was built in 23. He was an infant when they moved in. Those handprints are really of a very baby Kurt Vonnegut, right?
A very baby Kurt Vonnegut.
Very, that's kind of hard to imagine, actually wrap your head around.
The little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I hate to go back to this Bob Whitey documentary, but there he tells stories about what it was like living in that house and, you know, things that happen when the neighbor's dog killed his cat and what, you know, that experience was like for him and, you know, other things. So, but, and good times. And, of course, the house is reflected in many of his books and writings and conversations. And that's one reason why when we started the Vonnegut Library, Mark Vonnegut totally agreed, yes, you can have this in your city. You get to be the keeper of the Kurt Vonnegut Museum and Library because, you know, Kurt valued living here so much and often wrote about it and often criticized Indianapolis and sometimes with very good reason to do that. So I think we are, and this year, the year of Vonnegut, and, you know, I had failed to mention that Visit Indy is one of our major partners along with the city of Indianapolis for year of Vonnegut, but the theme is common decency this year, and it couldn't be more relevant.
Well, and one of the things we're headed toward a break. One of the things that I do want to talk about is Kurt's rather complicated relationship with his native city. There was love there, but as you point out, it was not completely unalloyed. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Year of Vonnegut in Indianapolis. We're talking about the annual Decorator Show House Tour, which features Kurt's childhood home, and the status of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. My guests are Kathleen House of St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, Vaughn Hickman, who lived in the show house that was Kurt Vonnegut's boyhood home, and Julia Whitehead of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the year of Vonnegut here in Indianapolis. The springboards for the conversation are the annual Decorator Show House Tour this year features Kurt Vonnegut's childhood home. We're also talking about the status of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library and the events associated with this year of Vonnegut. If you want to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Kathleen House of the St. Margaret's Hospital Guild, which sponsors the Decorators Show House Tour, Vaughn Hickman, who owned and lived in Kurt Vonnegut's boyhood home, which is the show house this year, for more than 20 years, and Julia Whitehead of the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library. We have received an email from a listener, and if you want to join the conversation by email, you can do so by sending the email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Writes, three cheers, no make that four cheers for Julia Whitehead and her efforts to commemorate the works and name of Kurt Vonnegut. Just as Riley was enshrined in the 1920s with the House Museum, the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library is doing the same for another Indianapolis man of letters. It will be a thrill to visit the new Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library Center and revisit the Kurt Vonnegut House this week. And I'm about to massacre what was my ancestor's native tongue because I don't speak German. Das Deutsche Haus Athenaeum, another Vonnegut house, is now a National Historic Landmark. You can get it at Vonnegut's. Julia, let's talk a little bit about Kurt's relationship with Indianapolis, because it loomed large. The city loomed large in his thoughts, but it was not an uncomplicated love affair.
That is very well put, John. You know, I think one thing that might have been bothersome to him is when Sutter House 5 came out.
And was banned here.
College campuses all over the country were featuring Kurt, and it was, you know, an international bestseller. And I think like 11 or 12 people showed up at the Indianapolis
book signing at the Ellis.
And he said those were mostly family members
who
showed up for that. So, you know, there was that. I think, you know, he was during the civil rights movement. And as Vaughn mentioned, his relationship with Ida Young, his nanny and housekeeper during those early years. You know, he wanted Indianapolis to be more progressive. And we need to remember he grew up when Powers Hapgood and, you know, other very progressive leaders were coming out of Indiana. And, you know, so I think he and the arts, I'll mention the arts and James Whitcomb Riley and the relationship his family had with him and, Booth Tarkington. And, you know, he really wanted Indianapolis to be a cultural center and, you know, to not just be a sports town, which he liked sports. No offense to our great sports teams in the city, but he believed we could be more. And he really, you know, thought the common decency piece was important in the city. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he criticized Indy, but oh, he was so generous with his time coming back and speaking at different organizations and trying and just including his experience at Shortridge. And he talked about how important that was and how it was the best education he could have gotten, you know, at a public school in Indiana, Shortridge High School.
Yeah. Well, and often what criticism was there would be well, in some ways it could intensify the prodding, but also mute it at the same time. I'm thinking of, you know, he consistently referred to Crispus Attucks High School in his fiction as Innocent Bystander High School, which, you know, is an allusion. You have to understand a fair amount of history to get the joke there. But I guess where I know from talking with him, I mean, I remember talking with him near the end of his life and asking him you know, after all of those years, because he really lived for the nearly the last 60 years of his life on the East Coast, pretty much. You know, if he'd come to think of himself as a New Yorker specifically or someone on the East Coast, what part of, and he said, no, I'm Indianapolis. It's always Indianapolis. That's, you know, I think Indianapolis. You know, that's what I love. So I guess where I would like to take this conversation next is talking about, and this is not a problem that is uncommon to Indianapolis, do we do enough to honor that legacy? Why is it so many of our great American writers seem to have to count on, at some level, the efforts of individuals such as yourself and your dedicated board and all of that sort of stuff to honor what is an important part of our cultural tapestry?
Okay, thank you, John.
Sure.
I want to answer this with a couple of examples of something that our organization is doing. Just today, I got feedback from Harshman Middle School teachers. We gave 265 copies of Vonnegut's book Slaughterhouse-Five to eighth graders at Harshman Middle School as part of a personal narrative project. They're reading the book. They're going to be writing about their own difficult experiences in life. And talking about that with Indy 11 players who are mm-hmm. also going through this program. But the teachers wrote to us today to say that the students are off to a good start. And she shared comments about how much they appreciated having a book in their hands, a real book that they got to take home. I wasn't expecting that response. I didn't expect gratitude mm-hmm. over having a book given to
them.
The
actual tangible thing.
And, you know, yeah. and we have created a community at the mm-hmm. Vonnegut Library where we're, you know, I'll be going in to tell them, this is not just one-time thing mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
You have a community of, you know, friends at the Vonnegut Library. For the rest of your life, you'll have this. Mm-hmm. And we went out to Baltimore City Schools to teach the Baltimore City school teachers in an in-service day how to teach Vonnegut in the classroom. So it's, you know, my work is not in vain. You know, this mm-hmm. building thing is just a side issue. Our most important, you know, product, if you will, is the education we provide. And I think it's okay. I love doing what I do. And, you know, I got to think the other writers' homes feel the same way, that it's important. It's not, you know, it's not just Kurt Vonnegut's books. It's the common decency that he talked about. Mm-hmm. And that is much needed. And that's what the Baltimore school mm-hmm. teachers said. We need to talk about common decency as part of our, you know, literature class and history and these other things. So Vonnegut was great for that. You know, mm-hmm. there's so many great talking points for discussion with groups on that.
We are talking about the year of Vonnegut here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Susan has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I was privileged enough to work with Von Hickman for many years at the advertising agency that he owned, and I recall some fabulous moments of entertaining, some office parties mm-hmm. and other events, and the home was just very unique in terms of how it was designed for entertaining, and I'd mm-hmm. like to hear him talk about some of his favorite moments as a host in the home.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Susan. Well, Vaughn, I think that's your cue.
Well, it is a wonderful place for entertaining, and you know, especially the living room, which has the, you know, the 20-foot ceiling, and I know that when the Woolens lived there in Evan, when Nancy was out of town, the story is that he called some of his friends and proceeded to take the floor out, mm-hmm. you know, floor ceiling out from between the living room and the master bedroom. mm-hmm. and which makes the 20-foot ceiling. And so when she was gone for the summer, I believe it was, and so when she returned, he had invited friends over and had a group of violinists up on this balcony, which actually was the doorway into the master bedroom. There was a little balcony, and he had violinists up there playing. I think to kind of smooth things over with Nancy. And then, and we did the same once is you know during a Christmas party. We had an annual Christmas dessert party, and usually had 30 to 40, 50 guests, and it was just a wonderful annual thing we had party. And also is my son and his wife, Darren and Sylvia Hickman, we had their wedding out in the backyard by the fish pond. And we found out later that the Clarks actually, they had a wedding out there also around the pond. Mm-hmm. It's a very large kidney shape pond, and we just love the pond from the view of the back porch, the screened-in back porch. So it's just it's a wonderful house for entertaining, and we did that quite a bit during the years that we lived there.
Now, when you were living there, did you were you able to unearth any keepsakes or mementos of Kurt's time there?
We did, and he wrote, as Julia said, he wrote about the house and his thoughts at several times in the books, and he wrote once about the secret hideout, and how he would crawl behind the stairwell and to the secret hideout. Well, I looked for the secret hideout over the first few years that we lived there, and I found this in back of the closet on the first floor, the stairwell as it starts up to the second floor, and I found this doorway that goes in behind the steps, and so I found that, and then on the third floor is. There is a little door that goes into where the fireplace is, or the chimney rises out of the roof. And then finally, we had a leak in our bathtub on the second floor of the guest of our guest bedroom. And so we had a plumber out, and then between the garage ceiling and the second floor ceiling, there's a crawl space of, it's about 4 to 5 feet tall. And so he had to get under the, he had to crawl back in there and work on the plumbing for the tub. And after he finished, a couple days later, he called and, said, do you realize that if you crawl all the way back, with pretty close to the north of that space, crawl space, there is a door that a trap door in the ceiling that opens up into this kind of enclosed space. And here is, and he said, there's a what is evidently a children's kind of play area, because there's a blackboard and there's a little stool. There's some coloring books and also toy cars and trucks. And I said, well, it has to be the secret hideout. And it also had a light in it. And so with that, what I did, I did find, there were a couple of toy trucks that I think were probably more of the time period of when the Clarks lived there.
Okay.
But anyway, those two trucks I actually still have. I kept those two as mementos, and but I left everything else intact, and it's still there. Everything is still there, as far as I know. So,
oh. Well, that is interesting.
But that was that was like a real hunt, and just a surprise to finally find it.
So real quickly, Kathleen, because we're starting to get a little bit tight on time, if people want to tour the home and they want to reserve tickets or buy tickets, how do they go about doing that?
Well, tickets are right there at the entrance off of Illinois, 4401, and we have a big ticket center. And just walk right up. You give them your money, and they'll give you a ticket.
Okay, and it's $20
per person. It's $20, yes.
Per person.
Per person at the gate. And proceed, and we'll be greeting you, and proceed to the front door, and Docent will meet you, and we'll start talking about the house and show you that pond through the screen porch, as well as on the second floor looking down at the pond from the sleeping porch, and try to point out where those little secret areas might be.
And Julia, as Year of Vonnegut, want to emphasize to everyone the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library is still open. The location is...
340 North Senate Avenue.
Okay, and what will people see when they come there?
They can see his personal artifacts, his Purple Heart, his typewriter, his reading glasses, his volunteer firefighter card, so many things, his artwork. And, you know, we tell that story. Ball State donated a research iMac with a lot of information on that, and a lending library that is set up to look like his writing space that he used. So come see us.
Well, that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guest, Kathleen House, Vaughn Hickman, and Julia Whitehead for what's been a fascinating conversation about one of my favorite people, Kurt Vonnegut. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you,
John.
No
Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's Public Broadcasting Stations.